Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
TNT! Trout and Tog. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 5th and 6th, again, belated Happy New Year. Opening day of trout season is today, Saturday, and Tog opened April 1st. Striper's still going on. Yeah, winter flounder, for those who can find him, still going on. Just about a reminder, this is week one of the in-season trout season. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. Click on the freshwater link. Go to trout fishing. You have all the numbers listed there. Anyway, in the South Jersey Rack and Fin Radio, listening from Monmouth South, you got 26 waters being stocked. Now, listen, the Cohansie and Morris Rivers are not stocked this week, and GM Petro, Haddon Lake, and Westville Pond were only stocked for opening day. And don't forget the bonus brood stock. You have some big-ass trout, up to 7-8 pounds probably, that were stocked for opening day in South Violent Park Pond, Sylvan Lake, both lakes, and right down the street here, Birch Grove Park Ponds. A lot of trout going out there over the next 3 weeks. But hey, man, heads up. We have a really jam show. We're going to be talking tog, and also, man, getting a fishing club started in the schools. But right now, just a heads up for next week. It's Saturday. It's the annual event. It's probably the biggest perch tournament of its kind in Jersey, if not any place they have white perch. The Landisville Gunning Club's White Perch Tournament. It's going to be Saturday, April 12th. Join us online right now from the Landisville Gunning Club is Dave Lorenzini. Dave, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, good morning, Tom P. Glad to be with you this morning.
A lot cocked right around. Okay, Dave, the captain's meeting is going to be Friday the 11th, correct, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the club. Where's that club located?
You got it, man. We're at 4th and Cape May Avenue, right in glorious Estelle Manor, New Jersey. Look forward to seeing everybody.
I love that area out there.
Looking good.
Yep, you got some great. I'll tell you, you picked a great week for this, Dave. So you said bait avail is going to be available for purchase at the meeting.
Bait will be available to purchase at the meeting. You can sign up there. You can sign up online at njwhiteperch.com. Whatever's easiest for you. We're looking forward to seeing everybody. It's a big event.
Oh, huge event. Huge event.
200 people every year. We fry up a lot of fish. It's just a good time. We all come out of hibernation, right? The turkeys are fanning their feathers. The perch are starting to jump in the boats. It's time to have a good time.
Okay, listen, it's a 6 a.m. start. Weigh-in start at 1 p.m. It ends at 2 p.m. sharp, and you must be on the property. $1,000 first prize, $500 second prize. Third place is $250 Lunker pool. Well, Dave, how much to get in the tournament, man?
It's $40, and then there's discounts for children and veterans. And again, all that's available on the website. We try to make it accessible for everyone. We get a lot of kids, and you know, a lot of women are going out and fishing.
You got
fishing
it,
with
man.
Their friends too.
You got it, Dave. One more time with that website, please. Rub against a heartbreak. Go.
NJWhiteperch.com.
Listen, it's going to be a super, super event. I may even show up this year, but here's the thing. I know $40. I know they lose money when I hit the food line. Dave, you take care. God spares. We'll see you next week.
Thank you again, Tom. Take care, man.
You had to get that announcement. It's a big, huge perch tournament. Great crew out there. Great crew. Okay, coming up, man, we're going to be talking tog biology with a member of Marine Fisheries. Now we're going to have Frank Mahalik on talking April tog tactics. And Captain Brett Taylor, hey, you want to get a fishing club started in your school? That's how to do it. Grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio TNT. I am loving it.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Why? Why do we ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right? The answer to why defines who we are. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my friends.
For my community.
For my family.
For each other. Because all of this matters. We all have something worth protecting. So why do you see safe? Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
TNT, Trout and Tog. Covered a lot of trout last week. We're going to go into some numbers with those every week now as the stocking progresses in the South Jersey Rack and Fin Radio area waters. But for the tog, I want to get some, you know, I always hear this about tog, that about tog, long lived, not that long lived, different population, whatever. I want to get some, how about a little segment on some tog biology? I don't think I've ever done that before. 22 years, Just caught them and eat them, man. I release some. If they're, you know, under the leg of a band, talk to me. Your talk are meant to be caught and eaten. Join us online right now. Very special guest. First time on Rack and Fin Radio. Connor Davis. He's an assistant biologist, DEP, Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Just had some basic questions for Connor. Again, shed the light more on actual, you know, tog biology, you know, how long do these things live, general lifespan, rates of growth, all that good stuff. Interesting as hell. Connor, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Welcome aboard, my brother.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
An enigmatic species from what I heard over all these years, different stories about tog, rates of growth, this, that, the other thing. I'd like to shed some light on them. Again, you hear, first off the bat, I'm going to hit with this right off the bat, Mr. D. Oh, man, that tog, that thing's probably 40 or 50 years old. Say a 15-pound, whatever. So they live that long? Then your other guy, that's BS. They don't live that. And it just is so confusing. Right off the bat, Connor, average lifespan of a tog, male and or female. Go.
They can get up to 30. There's been reports up to 40.
Ooh.
But most of our data, the large old ones around 20 years old, is not uncommon. Those really big numbers, they're far and few between.
Connor, how do they actually age them? The ogulus, or how do you ascertain that?
There's three different methods. The gold standard is the otolith that you mentioned, right. The ear bones. That requires extraction. We mount them in resin, cut it, and look at the annual eye growth rings. The next best would be the operculum. That gets boiled, and again, it's looking at growth rings. And if for the live market, they can actually take a spine off the dorsal fin and look at the growth rings on that without harming the fish much. You know, they'll live.
Well, got a rate of growth now. Tog, oh, is there a slow-growing species? What's the dealio, man?
Lava, it varies. You're looking at a 0.01 to 0.03 inches per day. And then when they get to juvenile, you're at 0.02 is the average from what the data is showing.
That is kind of slow, yes?
Yeah. So you're taking a few years before you ever get to actual maturity, sexual maturity, at least 3 to 4, and it's really between a little older than that.
Yeah, that was my next question. At length or age, when tog actually start to breed? I've heard 9-10 inches they're capable of breeding. Is that accurate?
Yes. According to our data, we're actually seeing a range between 7 and 12. So they do start breeding at a relatively young age for a long-lived fish. At a smaller size, under the regulation size, some of those fish could be already breeding. But the optimal size is a little bit later in life. Optimal egg production right. For females is about 16 inches.
I was going to say prime breeding size. So 16 inches, is that when the spawn's most viable?
Yes, that's when you're going to have your largest eggs being produced and still healthy and viable.
Well, now, males, are they a little precocious? Are they able to spawn the same age, maybe even younger?
I would say same age. I don't think younger, but we're not seeing, because the monkfish, that's definitely the case. The males are smaller. They're hitting maturity 2 to 3 years before the females. Females are living several years longer, close to a meter larger. And that's partly to let the ovum inside that fish get big enough. In that tail section, you would find the gonads. And as they grow larger, you're producing more and more.
Okay, join us online is Connor Davis, assistant biologist, DEP, Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Hey, man, are you right there on Route 9, that area, Nacote?
Yes, we are.
Oh, man. I always zip by them. I was told, man, don't come in. You bother us. So I keep it to the phone thing. Okay, migration patterns, Connor. Again, east-west, I get that. I've heard, you know, our next guest, excellent togger. You know, they go 15, 20 miles, sometimes farther. That's 140, 150 feet. Are there any records? Are their tog way offshore? Or are they pretty much like basically the edge of the inshore before you get to mid-range?
What I found doing the research for this was from the beach out to the 12-fathom contour. So pretty far out there. They're on our artificial reefs. They definitely like structure.
Yeah. Any particular structures that you, now I know Tog love tanks. Captain Peter Clark with Bureau of Marine Fisheries, he's a head of the reef project, doing a super job. He said, Tom P., you want Tog, a lot in big ones. Tog, for some reason, love tanks. Is it any kind of structure, or are they more specific? Ooh, this is even better than this. Or will you find them around? I had one charter captain, great party boat and charter captain, Captain Sammy to Slam Racino on a Mary M4. That's when he had the Mary M3. He said, Tom P., you find a piece of cover. I don't care if it's the size of a couple of shoe boxes stuck together. You drop a crab down. If there's a tog rod, he's going to grab it. Because they just gravitate to any kind of structure. Is that pretty accurate?
I think so. They like a little home. Gives them that safety. Gives them a spot to hang out. A little bit of a territory. It is kind of an odd concept to think of a free swimming fish having a territory and a home underwater. But they tuck in places and prey on animals from there.
Yeah, I know. We've caught tog in some of the most, again, you're looking at the grass. That doesn't look like much. The guy says, Tom, drop that bait. Deemer says, drop that bait. And man, there they are. Maybe not big ones, maybe not keepers, but they seem to be any kind of aberration in the bottom. You're going to find tog and maybe even sea bass, you know, as per the season.
Yes. Yeah, they're definitely associated with each other. They come up a lot in our sampling.
Okay, kind of the $64,000 question here. Okay, I like that. I like the $64,000. Here we go. How are tog population estimates made, and are there differences? Again, I talked just about this off the air. Are there differences North Jersey, Central Jersey, South Jersey? By South Jersey, I mean like, you know, Atlantic County, Cape May, down into the Delaware region. Because you hear fishing's better here, fishing's better there, better cover up here, better cover up there. Populations could be in trouble up there. What's this finny skinny on this, man?
So the population estimates, there are four regions. Unfortunately, they're much bigger than just the coast of New Jersey. Our region is the New York Bight area. So we're actually all of New Jersey's coast, along with New York Sound up by the Hudson, is one region. Then you have the Delmarva, you have Long Island Sound, and you have Massachusetts Rhode Island. So for our data and what's affecting New Jersey is really the catch-off of the whole of the coast and up in the New York area. With that said, there is a slight data starting to show a slight difference where larger fish are available recreational down south. The fishing pressure is not as heavy. Ocean County is leading the way, followed by Monmouth in the most recreational catch. So there's a lot more fishing pressure up there.
Yeah,
you also have influence of a larger live market on a commercial industry out in New York City as compared to the southern counties, although there are individuals that do harvest from as far south as Cape May County and bring live tog up to the live markets in the city. But because of that, with the heavy fishing pressure, there is a small difference in the recreational that we're getting somewhat larger available, but not, we're probably like from where the average is like 2.4 pounds up by New York, Monmouth. Maybe you're at 2.6 if you were to just look at the average size and length and weight for southern fish. There's not, our data is so broad because it is managed coastwide. It's hard to pinpoint and give you an exact answer between, say, Cape May County versus Ocean County. Where are you going to get that big fish?
Fair enough. Okay, well, Connor, listen, before, I know I said this, but before I let you go, one question on the salinity factor with blackfish. I caught my, when I first came down here in 88, 89, I guess it was, I'm fishing down there by drag channel, old drag channel access before it's, you know, how many years now it's been gone, and the old Beasley's Point drawbridge, and caught small, no, I think the biggest 10, 11 inch, but on occasion caught tog back there, that far in, rare, I assume, but do they have a little bit of a tolerance for brackish as opposed to like totally salt water?
It does seem so with them being on the coast. They're not known as a draminous fish, as something like eels or salmon, but they're pretty hardy. Mentioning where you're at, you're looking at a salinity of around 25 to 20 parts per thousand. So they probably have a decent amount of tolerance. I think more research would have to be done to really nail it down to find those.
And I also caught sheep's head back there. I remember one following up on a buck test. I said to my boss, Dick Wood, the great Dick Wood, I said, Dick, what's that? I said, that's a sheep's head. He says, yeah, so what? and they were back. Well, Connor, thanks for shedding some light on the enigma, the blackfishes. You hear so many things about the tog. One thing, they're great game fish, and they're a big part of the Jersey saltwater sport fishing scene on the marine side. And keep up the great work there, brother, and thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. You're the man. You're the one. You're the guy. You are Connor Davis. How's that?
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Take care, brother. Be good.
You too. Bye-bye.
Nice guy. Yeah, the tog factor. You always hear all these things about the tog and conflicting things, and by people that I know that are expert tog fishermen, so whatever, but we went right to the source, right to the biologist. Speaking of tog, be right back with Frank Mihalik, man. Ho, ho, ho. We're talking April togging. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Buying a firearm in Washington State could soon be more expensive with what you pay going to the state's coffers. A bill is making its way through the Washington State Legislature that is already getting lots of praise from the state's Attorney General. It is a proposed law that would add the requirement of a purchasing permit when seeking to buy a gun. That permit application and processing fee could be as high as $200, according to some sources, and it could cost the applicant further if they're made to retake a firearm safety course. While its proponents say it will make children safer, the bill's opponents say it could add an additional 30 days of processing time by the state to Washington's existing 10-day wait period. They plan to fight it, saying it can't pass the U.S. Supreme Court's history and tradition test. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Here we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 5th and 6th. Again, a little belated New Year, as I said earlier in the program, with the opening of the month-long Blackfish, a.k.a. tog season. It's going to run through April 30th. It's sort of like a crunch time tog thing. You have this compacted season. I mean, you really squeeze in, but... And it's still a four fish limit, a 15-inch minimum. It's not going to reopen, I think, until August 1st, and then it's going to run through November 15th. That's with the one fish limit, and then, you know, 16th that kicks off. But this is a prime time for tog if you know where to go and what you're doing and you have the right tackle to get the job done. Put in a call to the main man. He is one of the best tog fishermen on the planet would be. That'd be pretty apropos. It's Frank Mihalik. He's with Century Rods. Designed the Pro Togger rod for Century Rods. He's been with them for 7 years. Ace fisherman, an overall cool guy. Frank, short notice. Thanks again, but a short season. How you doing, brother?
Doing great, Tom. How are you?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock again. Trout talk. TNT for the month of April, and I am lock, cocked, and ready to rock, Mr. M. So, Frank, this compacted season, 1 month, is it like better than nothing, or this could be a prime time to go?
Oh, no, this is absolutely prime time, brother. We are absolutely ready to go and get out there and get a shot at some really big fish as well.
Frank, again, the shots of the big fish, again, this time of year, and you always hear, Frank, the lips are sore, or gums, whatever, that they can be real picky, real choosy, real persnickety, if you will, and yet, this is the prime time, no?
Yeah, it's one of the prime times. You know, Tommy, little fish, big fish, totally different things, man. You get these little fish, like, you know, up to 8, 9, 10 pounds. They're going to come into the back. They're going to spawn in April, May, and then they're going to leave. The really, really large fish, the fish that are living far offshore, actually live on that wreck. They spawn, you know, they're living out in 120 foot of water. They live and die and spawn and breed out there. They don't bother to come inshore. It's a different game. You know, when you fish for little fish, when you're fishing at the jetties and at the, you know, in the back bays along the sedge banks, whole different ball game than when you head out to the reef sites and start pushing further offshore.
Frank, temperature, bottom water temperature, the catalyst into getting these things to feed this time of year especially?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know we spend a lot of time fishing off of Cape May down off of like the mouth of Delaware Bay. Uh-huh. And when you start getting these sunny days and the water temp starts coming up, you know, when the Delaware River fills up and it's nice and shallow and it warms up,
right,
and that warm water starts pushing down out of Delaware Bay, it will actually get those. It'll definitely get those fish feeding much more actively. Sometimes the outgoing tide's a lot better than the incoming.
And Frank, when you're saying offshore, give us an example. 10, 12 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles, what?
Yeah, 20, more like 20 plus.
I don't think Todd went out that far, man.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's the deepest you've ever caught them this time of year?
140.
Bait game, correct? I mean, that's kind of a, unless you're using one of the runoff 6 ounce shrimp shaped jigs, that's basically a bait game, correct?
Yeah, man. When we're out, a lot of times when you're fishing those offshore spots, you might be 10 miles from the next closest spot.
Wow.
If you go out there and it's not the place to fish a jig because you got six guys on a charter. If one of them is fishing a jig and he's like, oh yeah, I want to try to get the fish to bite. Well, first of all, we got to get the fish to bite, but we got to be able to land the fish. If you do break that fish off and that fish runs back down into the wreck, he's going to send like a panic alarm through the rest of the fish in the wreck, where very often if you break off that big fish and he goes home, the action will absolutely shut down for like sometimes an hour, sometimes a couple hours.
You mean they actually send out bad vibes? Get out of here.
I really think it's more like a panic situation, like when the fish is hooked and it's panicked, and then it goes down. I visualize it as some type of an alarm system that they know something bad happened, and whoop, they all get absorbed right into the wreck, and the bite is totally gone. Where you know, a lot of times you can wait maybe a half an hour, maybe they start to come back, or maybe you just got to move.
I was just going to say, right, again, time's at a premium, and, okay, bait and wait or just sit it out, but again, next spot's 10 miles away, so that's the that's the damn if you do, damn if you don't scenario.
Well, right, because, you know, you pull the hooks, you run 10 miles, you drop the hooks again, well, you know, you just wasted a lot of time fishing. So that's why when we're fishing in the reef sites, you know, sure, by all means, fish a jig, no problem. But I do know guys that are exceptionally skilled jig fishermen that fish differently for these big fish. They have, you know, they're fishing like 8-foot rods, 30-pound braid, 60-pound leader. They might be using a 2-ounce jig, you know, with like a small whole white crab on it. But again, these are guys that are exceptionally skilled. They're not like your average jig fisherman, and they really do fish for big fish this way. So I'm certainly not going to put it past some of them.
Frank, tackle for this endeavor, for the deep water, I call them full month tog, not the fishermen, the toggers. They'll fool your head too. Like I said, nip the. Are the takes on the bait? We'll get to the bait in a second. But is it, again, when you're talking double digit fish, like big double digit fish, not 10, 11, Frank, you're talking 10, 12, 13, whatever. Is it a pick, scratch or in this still cold water, their lips, gums, whatever the situation is? Or are they pretty aggressive?
April is like a split season. The first 2 weeks of the season, it's windy, it's cold. A lot of times they'll be very scratchy. Sometimes I'll use like a piece of crab, but before I put the crab on, I'll put a piece of clam on the hook first, and then the crab, or the clam like covers up the crab so that the fish will come over and they'll get interested in the clam and start eating. And then they're like, oh, there's a crab in there, and they eat it. So that certainly is effective at this time of the year. And a lot of times if they're just not eating, I'll just try to give them something easy to eat, a nice, small, clean piece of bait, you know, maybe like a nice nugget of a white crab with no legs, no shell, just to make it easy for them to eat it, to get them interested. Once the fish do get interested, I think the other fish in the structure do, again, they do feed off each other with the excitement, and they feel the vibes in the water, and they come over because they don't want to miss out on a meal. And before you know it, you get them going, and then you can switch to all crabs. But sometimes clams or a piece of cooked shrimp can really be effective at just getting these fish who are not very interested in eating to get them excited and get them to chew.
Frank, I'm sure you've heard it all the years you've been talking. Is there any credence to, well, they're getting new teeth, their gums are sore, tender, whatever, that they'll go for a soft bait, particularly during April? I always hear that. I said, how do you know that?
Soft baits are the bane of my existence, man. When you start using clams, you really get dogfish in there. And when you get dogfish in there, a lot of times they'll get your baits on the way down. Or if you swing on a blackfish and you miss it, your bait lifting up off the bottom and falling back down, the motion of that bait will be enough to attract a dogfish to come over and pick up your bait. So clams can really be tricky, man. When you start fishing with clams, like, yeah, you can get them going, but it can also call in the doggies. So I really try not to use them if we don't have to.
Frank, the April doggies are ferocious, man. I've been seeing where they actually shut down the fishery. We're speaking with Frank Mahalik, man. We're talking April tog, full month tog. As a tog, we'll fool with your head big time. Well, Frank, let's get into the correct tackle, the optimum tackle to get, you know, put the advantage in your corner, if there's such a thing, for these big tog. What do you got?
Century Pro Togger rod is my baby. I mean, that thing is that rod has actually enabled me to catch more big tog than any other thing I've done. But you don't have to spend that kind of money. I mean, you can spend $80 on a Tsunami Classic 7.5-foot rod and have a really, really nice blackfish rod for like $80. Mm-hmm. Tsunami also makes a slow pitch rod. It's like 7.6. It's a double X heavy. Very nice action.
I've seen that rod. Yeah.
Very nice rod. When you get into reels, I like the Daiwa Saltiga reels. Mm-hmm. I also like several reels from Okuma. They make a Cavella and a Tesoro.
Yeah.
I really like some of the new Penn reels, too. The Penn Fathom and the Torque are very, very nice reels at a great price point that you don't have to spend like crazy money to get a reel that's machined extremely, extremely well. Tight tolerances. The reel will not let you down. The Maxwell Hybrid 25 is a really nice reel. Further down the road, I use 50-pound test braid, sometimes 65. I know some guys that use 80, but 50 right. and 65 works really well for me. I tie about a 20-foot length of 60-pound Andy Pink Mono to the braid with
Bingo.
An FG knot.
Pink.
And I run that 20 feet down. I tie a double line in the bottom. I hang my sinker from it, and I'll tie my V rig right into my double line via a Belmar rig. So the last couple feet of the bottom end of the line is doubled up. I hang my sinker from it. I take my double line and tie it into the loop that's on my leadered hook. I tie a couple double overhand knots in the double line. So now you're tying double line into the single loop of the leadered hook.
Right.
That's what gives this connection the strength to hold up to big fish. If you take single layer 60 and tie it into that leader hook, that will bite into itself and that will break off.
There you go.
Tom, something you need to realize too, Tom. Big fish break stuff. Little fish, you know, guys go out, oh, I never had one break. Bro, you never caught a really big fish. You catch enough big fish, they will break things that you can't imagine.
Frank, how many outfits do you bring on one of your charters?
I bring two conventionals that are exactly the same, two pro toggers, you know, rigged exactly the same. And I bring a jig rod also. I'll bring a spinner, which is a Century Full Carbon Weapon 7.6 with a Tsunami Saltex 5,000 size. I really like the 5,000 size spinning reel just because the handle's a little bit bigger.
Yep.
The 4,000 is a little bit dainty. I really prefer the big handle on the 5,000 size reel.
Frank, now when you're on these charters, there's five other guys fishing. You guys basically, pardon the pun, feed off each other information wise. You're catching fish. He's catching fish. You're not. How does that work?
Man, I'll tell you what. You put me on the deck on Tom Daffin's Fishing Fever.
No, Tommy Daffin again.
On any given day, I mean, you talk about an all-star crew. I mean, I can put together a group of me and five other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And with us six guys talking on deck, man, just to be a fly on the wall, I'm just amazed at the conversations because it goes from like, it goes from how to get the blackfish to bite to our families, to our dogs, to our grandkids, back to blackfish. And it's just such a blast because you absolutely feed off each other and you learn from each other. There's a lot of things you can learn from guys who are more experienced than you. And if you're good, if you're a good black fisherman, You can keep fishing on headboats all you want. You can be the top guy on that headboat all you want, but you're not learning from yourself too much. And if you think you're going to learn from the guys that just stepped on, good luck with that. You can be the big fish in the little pond all day long.
Frank, two more questions for you. The conservation aspect here. Now you're getting these, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 pound and up tog, the big prime females. Strictly catch and release. And if you're bringing them up from such a depth, say you're at 120, 140, 150 feet, are there occasion where you have an idea they may not survive the return trip?
Yeah, I should preface this to say, fishing in the springtime on my charters, we let all the females go.
Okay.
I don't care, big, small, we let every female go. And I let all the females go in the fall, too. So we let all the females go. If we get a fish that's like over 7 pounds, we really try to let it go. And if we do pull them up, sometimes they're stressed and sometimes they have a little air bladder bubble kind of popping out of their butt.
Yep.
That fish will live. If the fish fights so hard that its intestines are shredded and its intestines are like hanging out of his butt, that fish is dead. That fish is not going to make it. The one thing I try to do is when I do initially get the bite and I set the hook and I swing on it and I get as many cranks as I can on the fish, I have the fish about 20 feet off the bottom before he realizes he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
My drag's set on murder, man. It's straight up lockdown. So I'm sitting there holding that fish. And when I do start to get him coming, I start to slow down. I'm not panicking, pumping the fish like you're getting a yellow fin on a stand-up rod.
It's right.
Just slow down. Pump the fish. Don't pump the fish. Let them just come to you. Work it kind of slowly. That way, when the fish does come up, usually they're in much better shape to be able to release them. We also, on Daffin's boat, too, we also use this. It's a depth release tool that it's hooked onto another rod. And when you're ready to release the fish, it looks like a kind of like a mini boga, and you set it at a depth like 100, 125, 150, and you clip it on the fish's lip, and there's like a 2 pound weight attached to the rod, and he lets the fish go down slowly, 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 and when it reaches the prescribed depth, the thing clips off. So now you've got this fish that is back down into its pressure, so he's starting to feel okay again, and the thing clips off, and he can go swim back down to the bottom.
Frank, that's fascinating. That's good stuff there, Mahalik. Good stuff. Well, Frank, one last question. Listen, again, I saw this again this year at the AC Boat Show. I was working at the fisherman booth. They split me up between the front booth and the back booth where the seminars are in the back booth. Frank, there were people coming into the show for your TOG seminar. They're there. Look at the boats. They're coming in for your TOG seminar. Frank, how do you keep it fresh? I mean, you're always learning stuff, like you said. And you fill the place, man.
I'm just humbled, man. I am humbled to share information with people. A lot of the this year, something I did differently, I leaned on a couple of my big fish friends. I mean, guys like Dennis Mullenforth and Alex Cortizio. These guys have caught more big fish than I can eat. I don't even want to tell you how many big fish they caught. Let's just say we keep those things kind of secret. But it's important that, like I said, we kind of all walk the same path in life, man. And to be able to hear somebody else's perspective on something and to share it with the group, that it's not just about me. People aren't really coming there. They might be listening to me talk and to watch me push the buttons, but I want them to hear information from these legendary toggers that are such class guys. They're such great dudes. And these guys can catch fish, man. And if they're willing to share a little bit with me, and I ask them, this is something I'm going to share with everybody, are you okay with that? They enjoy passing these things along too, and that's it. It's all about camaraderie and helping each other.
Hence, Frank, why the people came to this. When's Mahalik Seminars? It's over there. Look on the poster there. Because they know you give great information. Well, Frank, thanks for joining us. You have a great April season. And anything new from Century coming in from your corner? You got something in the works?
The newest thing we just popped out with is called a full carbon weapon. We took one of our most versatile blanks of the weapon. It's a very good blank for everything. We made it a full carbon version, which is a lot stiffer and super sensitive. And man, last fall I had that thing up in Newport, Rhode Island, catching blackfish on the jig. this rod was silly off the charts. I mean, just the strength it has. I'm actually looking forward to using it this year for black drum in Delaware Bay. I want to try to catch a 80-pounder on this thing.
That should be. Are you going with Daffin? Or you have Captain Bobby Cope down there on full ahead right next to Daffin. You got some great drummers down there, man.
Sometimes we jump with them. Usually I jump on my cousin Billy's boat and we go out and, you know, and have some fun with them. But it's a little tough when you get a really, really big one on a spinning rod. Sometimes we might have to drop the hook to get that fish, because when they start turning and going with the tide, man, you're like,
oh, yeah. That's a lot of fun. Well, Frank, have a great season, brother. Looking forward to seeing you on the water one of these days, man.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care, brother.
You too. Have a good spring.
Yep. Frank Mulholland, great guy. Just a great guy. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. April Tog and Trout, TNT.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. The Senate working into the early morning hours approving President Trump's economic and policy package 51-48. The bill includes $150 billion for defense, $175 billion for the border wall, and will make the president's 2017 tax cuts permanent. Reaction from Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Voting for this bill, Senate Republicans sided with billionaires against the middle class in total obeisance to Donald Trump.
The package now heads to the House for approval. A man who allegedly made online threats against President Donald Trump, Glenn DeSico, is under arrest, charged with making written threats to kill. The arrest follows an investigation by police in Jupiter, Florida, and the Secret Service. The man was arrested without incident. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, we're looking at cooler conditions with a stray shower possible, so you might want to bring that light jacket with you with highs around 60 degrees. And then for tomorrow, we're going to warm up a bit, so it's going to feel like spring with highs around 75 degrees, but we will see some scattered showers and thunderstorms, so you might want to bring that umbrella with you. And then on Monday, we could see some showers in the morning. Otherwise, it's going to clear up in the afternoon with a high around 48. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Seeing more and more youngsters out there fishing, which is great. And I'm talking kids, you know, youngsters anywhere from 4, 5, 6, 7 with their dads and their moms up to the adolescents into the early teens. I think it's cool. You're getting them on the right track, getting them on the water, be it fresh or salt. There's some fishing clubs around. Join us on the line right now. Quick return, though, because he's a hot commodity, because you're not going to get him the rest of the summer through next fall. Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. He's had a very successful stint when he was in one high school with the fishing club. He's now in another high school, and he has another club going. What's involved getting a fishing club going, getting the youngsters' interest? Again, we know all the distractions. Captain Brett, yeoman's job on recruiting the youth, man. How's it going?
It's going great, buddy. How you doing?
Lock, cock, and radar. Come on, Brett. It's April. And then we got turkeys at the end of the month. Anyway, Brett, on a serious note, you were very successful. You're at the school with a fishing club. Now you're at another school, and you have another fishing club started, correct?
Yeah. I started at Barnegat High School. I taught there for 15 years. Ran a fishing club there for 10. And then I left... left Barnegat. Now I'm at Central Regional. And my first year, I started they didn't have a fishing club per se. And I started, we had maybe 15 kids. Definitely got that interest. And then it grew. And now it's my fifth year here. And we're up to 50 kids on the roster.
Wow. Well, Brett, because I've been asked several times, I travel, hit a lot of tackle shops and stuff and whatever. And how you see these kids with the fish club now on the freshwater scene, high school bass fishing in the heartland and down south. That's a big thing. Okay, and you have your college teams or whatever. But Jersey seems in this area here, getting a team going. I know a gentleman, nice guy. He tried. And he's really having a tough time getting it going. One, how do you get the youngsters interested? You put up signs, but how do you get this thing going?
Yeah, that's what we, when we first started, I had a couple students that helped me out. You know, the school district's great too. The way very supportive of it.
Do you have to do like a lesson plan, so to speak, for lack of a better term, make a proposal? Yeah. How does that work?
Kind of like propose that to the administration about, hey, this is what we're going to do. I have monthly meetings, but you know, we started out with just putting signs around the school. We had a meeting after school, had about 15 kids there the first year. And then we got, you know, once we got rolling, the big thing that gets them is doing trips. And it doesn't have to be a crazy trip where you're going on a headboat, you're going on a charter, just going to a lake and fishing for sunfish or bass or crappie. And that's how we started. That's how we started it. Basically fishing. We started fishing Ocean Acres Lake. We would, you know, at the end of the year, we would have a day where...
Hey, keep the kids away from that thing where the carts go over, because that's my bass spot, Taylor. Okay, I'm putting it out there. Keep them away from there. Well, sorry over there. Sorry about that.
Our first year, we're catching sunfish and stuff. And what we did is we actually linked up with the, our special education department. And I had it where, you know, the kids of the fishing club teamed up with... kids, you know, with autistic or multiple disabilities, but it's a great thing where it's a one-on-one where, you know, they help each, it's a great opportunity. So anyway, that was our thing. Now we're up to, we do 8 trips a year. In the fall, you know, we fish, it's nice. I'm fortunate that, you know, we have, Betty and Nick's, is in Seaside Park. That's part of our district.
Big John's.
Big John. Oh, they've been super to us. Creekside actually lies has been super to us. But what I was going to say is that, you know, we did 2 surf trips where we just fish off the beach with 10 kids. And I try to rotate it, say, you know, 10 different kids each time. And then this year, first thing we tried, fished for tog under, the Point Pleasant Canal under one of the bridges, and that worked out great in the fall. I mean, kids caught 40 fish, no keepers, but the fact
it's fun. They're catching, they're learning.
Exactly, betting a line. Now I had I literally had kids saying, "Hey, can we do this again?" So we're going the 17th of this month. We're doing it again under Point Pleasant, you know, Point Pleasant Canal under one of the bridges. Actually, Stan Gola, he works at the Real Seat. They've been real nice to us too. They did a presentation last fall on togging. So, you know, getting those kids and it's amazing seeing those kids they're unsure. They go on a trip and all of a sudden now I have seniors that they come in, they say, "Hey, look what we're they're fishing
for
stripers."
Isn't that great?
Yeah. They're going by themselves. And I'm like, "Hey, where'd you get that striper at?" But it's just a great thing, and the kids, you know, they'll come up to me in during a day or in homeroom and say, "Hey, yeah, we were out last night, we were fishing this." And these are kids that, you know, they were just tying a knot 4 years ago, learning how to tie. Now they're fishing, they have their license, they're fishing on their own, and it's just a great thing to see that, hey, they can pass this down to their kids, they can do this. It's just something that keeps them out of trouble, and that's what, that's the whole point of the fishing club, is giving them another avenue, because it's not all electronics. And all the other stuff that's there's so many different things that can pull kids, but you know, and that's why I try to, it's a respect for our natural resources, and that's what, you know, and that's I think what the district likes. Hey, you know, enjoy what you have in the community. We're right in the bay, we're ocean here, and that's what it's about. But once you get those kids going, the fish actually, that's what keeps them, you know, no pun intended, hook is. You know, with that, once they bend that line, forget it. They're, you know, that it's great.
Join us on the line, Captain Brett Taylor, Rear Reaction Sport Fishing. Brett runs the Central High School Fishing Club, was very successful running the Barnegat Fishing Club. Okay, Brett, we're up on this heartbreak, but again, for the people that, teachers or whatever, that want to get a fishing club started, over here, give a couple of tips how to get it going.
First thing you do is obviously talk to, if you're a teacher, talk to your administration. You got to get board approval. There's some hoops you have to, you know, jump through, which is normal. Every district has them, but you want to get that, you know, once you get that going with administration, the board, and you get, you know, you get some support with that, then it's wide open. Next thing is getting, you know, submitting, "Hey, this is what we want to do. We want to meet, you know, try to meet each month." We're going to try the first year. You know, we did one trip, and that's what I would tell people. Just plan one trip.
Right.
And then after that, you know, like I said, I've been doing this 5 years. Now we have 8 trips during the school year, and it's, you know, our only lull time is in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So each, you know, each meeting, the state has some resources. There's a Hooked on Fishing, Not on Drugs. I think Liz.
Liz Jackson.
Yes, out of the state.
She's great. She's great, man.
She's awesome. Very, very energetic. I took that course years ago and actually used a lot of the resources from that with the fishing club that I have now. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for people to get involved, especially if you're a teacher. And I'll tell you what, the kids, you'll, you know, it also takes a few. And once the, I guess, once the momentum gets going, it's really nice.
Has to be very satisfying, Captain Brett. And I know you're a big family guy. By the way, speaking of family, how are Luke doing? How is little Jake doing? How is the lovely, lovely, lovely Mrs. Taylor doing?
We're good. Everybody's good. You know, the kids are, both kids are playing baseball, one in high school level, one in T-ball level. And then, you know, Jen and I are just trying to, you know,
keep up.
Manage the household, manage work, you know, and everything else. So, yeah, everything's good. And then, you know, charter season starts, so now it's a little bit crazier. But it's good.
Well, Captain Barrett, back to the clubs. Alyssa's recruitment is very important, especially, Brett, I call them the formative years, not the 2, 3, 4. I guess that's the academic thing where they can say the kids are formative years. To me, the formative years, Brett, are 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, where they're adolescents into young teens. The kids are going to decide if they're going to go which way. And with the guidance, I call it rod and reel guidance, Brett, it's a great thing. You're doing a super job there, man.
Thank you. Yeah. And I can't say it enough is that I'll tell you what, most of the tackle shops, that's my other big point. Most of the tackle shops are phenomenal with helping out. And that's what I give props to the Real Seat, Betty and Nick's, Creekside. A bunch of the shops are really good to us, really good to the kids. And that's, you know, that's it, they're going to get future
business, man.
Too.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
I'm a black and white business guy when it comes to that. That's why, I mean, listen, women recruitment is another important thing. Women spend money. They get interested in something. Brett, they spend money. I mean, I've seen a show where I don't want this $39.99 combo. I want you. Holy moly. And there you go.
I'll tell you what. We have a bunch of girls in the club, and the girls are actually the better fishermen.
You know why, Taylor? You know what? No preconceived notions, open minds.
I learned that from
my lovely Dee Marie. It seems every trip, no matter we're hunting squirrels or chasing trout or on the jetty for tog, I marvel at this woman. I just marvel.
Yeah.
She said, Tom P, mine's like a parachute. Doesn't work unless it's open. And there you go.
Exactly right. That's 100% right.
Okay, Captain Brett, you take care. Safe travels. Great fishing. Godspeed. See you this summer.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Take care, man. Captain Brett, yeah, getting the youngsters involved, the formative years, man. To me, it's 9 to 13, 14. They're going to decide they're going to be cool kid or they're going to be jerks. That's me. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, a new book takes a deep dive on our broken student loan system, who's to blame, and what are the fixes. Also, new research finds 22% of native pollinators in North America are at elevated risk of extinction. We'll look at the potential impact, plus the income needed to afford a typical home, and saying someone's name repeatedly when you meet. Is that charming or creepy? That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge on treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Donate today at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, wrapping it up this weekend, April 5th and 6th, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio. Hey, new shop alert. You're going to be bass fishing, trout fishing, perch fishing, or going any saltwater fishing heading towards the coast, and you're around that Millville, Port Elizabeth area. Hey, man, Big Dave's Tackle. Right there on 3574 North, Route 47. Used to be the girls' place. Dave Ziner, new owner, bought it last year. Wish him a lot of luck. Dave, great shop out there, man. You are loaded for basically anything with fins, little brother.
What's going on, Tom? Thanks for calling me, man. Yeah, we're loaded, new owners. Shop's been here since 1950. A lot of exciting things going on out here. And we've got Mike Iaconelli coming out. He'll be here Thursday, April 17th, between 4 to 6. The mayor's going to cut the ribbon. Big things going on here down at Big Dave's Tackle.
Excellent. Now, you are ground zero. Well, during the April, and the trout fishing goes down here, it's mid-May, early June, catfish, but you are ground zero, prime, freshwater, largemouth. You have Union Lake, got some smallies here, and the snakeheads, man. You are fishing central, and you're really not far from Delaware Bay or getting to the coast for the salt sea, man. Let me ask you this. What made you, an avid fisherman, decide to get into the tackle biz, man?
Oh, wow, man. Long story, but I grew up down in Williamstown there back in the 80s and grew up on Wilson's Lake and fished all over this area, you know, all the way down to Cape May. For every kind of fish you can imagine, from bass to tuna, and got it in my blood. And when I retired, I said, hey, I want to open a bait and tackle shop. And the girl's place was here. It was a little bit, you know, underrated. So it had a really good reputation. So yeah, we bought it. And here we are.
Let me tell you something. You listeners, you have never seen a brighter shade of chartreuse on a building.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's bright green now. And we've got we got close to probably almost $1 million worth of inventory in here now. Over 1,000 rigs, anything you could possibly imagine.
Well, Dave Ziner, good luck. God spares. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. I'll be down that way. The snakeheads are going to be starting pretty soon. Plus, I'll be doing my trout in the Morris River, doing my trout down there in Mariama Lake. I will be in your zone. You take care, brother. Congratulations and good luck. Hey, give that phone number and address, man.
We appreciate you, buddy. It's 305-987-5051 is my phone number here. The address is 3574 New Jersey 47, right off of 55. When you get off of 55, come on down here.
Even I can find people. Even I can find it. And I don't believe in GPS.
Green, baby. Bright green building, and we'll take care of you when you get here. Appreciate you.
Take care, brother. Have a good one. Good luck.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Always good to see a new shop open because so many fall, especially after COVID. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy TNT. And you have Fluke opening up in less than a month, a.k.a. Summer Flounder. God is great. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.